Okay, this is Monday, October 15th, Mind Traps.
Good evening.
Good evening.
There is a power for good in the universe, and you are one with that power. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us each aware of that essential truth of our being, all so that we can take this power for good in the universe, we can use that power to change our lives. And that's what the main thrust of this whole teaching is, to teach people that you can change your life. You can transform yourself anytime you wish. And you do that with the renewing of your mind by learning to think differently. When you learn to think differently, when you have bigger, better thoughts about the universe, bigger, better thoughts about yourself, your life starts to change. That is one of the essential truths of this teaching. This teaching is about change. It's about changing your mind. It's about changing your life so that you can have the good in your life that you want. Now, with that said, I would like to go over this little thing quick. I thought this was so good. I have the power to create a happy and successful life. I am creating my life one thought, one feeling, one response at a time. We have to remember this. It's your thinking. It's your thoughts that are doing everything. Creation begins in the mind as a divine idea. Anything that you want to create, you start in the mind. Flashes of insight and inspiration, dreams and desires manifest into thoughts and words. As I take action and proceed in faith, divine ideas take form in my life. Through the creative power of imagination and faith. Here's that wonderful word one more time, imagination. And faith. I think I told you a long time ago, that I believe that the word faith that's in the Bible used to be imagination, and they change it to faith. And here it's saying faith and imagination. You have to use your mind. You have to use your creative thinking power or your imagination to create what you want in life. I use my spiritual qualities and gifts, building a life that is secure, prosperous, happy, and healthy. You do that, here again, with this thing called imagination. Whether it is a new career opportunity, an innovative approach to overcome a challenge, or an enhancement for the lives of others, I have the God-given power to create a happy, successful life through the creative power of my thoughts, words, and actions. Thoughts, words, and actions. Remember, words create thought. Words create thought. I've said many times, you have to change your vocabulary. You have to use the words that you want to use. You have to use powerful words. Do you remember when I told you I was reading about the Queen, and I loved that word? Unfathomably wealthy. She's unfathomably wealthy. I use that all the time. I think that's wonderful. You can't imagine how much money this woman has. This is what you want to do for yourself. You can't imagine. You have so much money that you can't count it. You have to change that because words structure thought and thought structures your reality. So if you're living an abundant life, you have the right vocabulary. If you're using words that bring you into lack and limitation, you must change those words. If you're looking out and thinking that the world is going here, there, and everywhere, tonight at dinner, Rose said that the stock market is up, and that makes everyone feel good. Well, let's know that the stock market is going to keep going up, but let's also remember this. The stock market has nothing to do with your how you are feeling. It's not a barometer of how you are feeling. Maybe a barometer of what money's going on. But you cannot connect yourself with that. Remember, rich people watch their money go up and down. Poor people go up and down with their money. You cannot do that. You have to stay constant regardless of what the economic climate is out there. You know that it's always God is your source and your supply. You keep that in your mind. We do not want any thoughts of lack and limitation coming into our consciousness. And we see that. Right now, people are complaining again about gas prices. They're going up. In my neighborhood, it's $4.99.9 or $5 a gallon. Somebody said to me, what do you think about that? And I said, well, if I don't have the money, I won't buy it. But I'm certainly not going to allow the gas pump to dictate how I'm feeling. You know, I'm not going to get all upset because gas prices are up. Don't drive as much. Don't do it. And if you don't have the money, don't spend it on that. If people would stop driving, gas prices would go down in a hell of a hurry. But we just keep doing them. So, use this little thing. I think it's the best thing I've seen so far. I have the power to create a happy and successful life. You have the power. I have many people come to me, and they have no idea that they have the power to create anything in their life, especially their own happiness. They're waiting for something outside of themselves to happen so that they can be happy. Don't wait for that to happen. Be happy now. If you're happy now, you're going to be more successful than anybody else. Just be happy. Happy people are always more successful in life. I don't care what business you're in. If it's the real estate business, if it's selling something, whatever it is, if you remain happy, you get more power. Things come to you because of being happy. So be happy and the money will come. The prosperity will come. Remember, all these things of money and prosperity that we're always talking about is a side effect. A side effect of what's going on in your thinking. People say, oh, I'll get the money and then I'll be happy. No, be happy first and the money will come to you. It works every time. When you see happy people, you want to be around them. When somebody is happy, you want to buy something from them. You want to be around these people. Who wants to be around anybody that's dooming and glooming all the time? We do not want that in our lives. We do not want it. So don't do that to yourself. Keep your thinking clear. Keep it on the idea of abundance and prosperity. See that abundance and prosperity in your life. And it doesn't have to do with prosperity and abundance. Has nothing to do with money. It has to do with your feeling and how you're feeling. We know many people with lots of money and they're miserable. So what good did the money do them? You don't want that happening to you. Now we're talking about mind traps. And one of the mind traps that we are going to talk about here is the idea that we forget things. That's a trap the mind does. It doesn't want you to know something, so it makes you forget something. Does anyone remember the three things that we're always thinking about? Or maybe not thinking about, but the three things that are the most important things. I used to do them all the time for you. Do you remember them? You see your mind, how it traps you and it makes you forget?
I am with
God, all things are possible.
With God, all things are possible. This too and more shall come.
Uh-huh. Now what's the third one? You can do this and more. You can do this and more. Those are the three things. And now, I'll tell you Always, I'm telling one myself. I had to think about those today. They didn't come right into my mind. I could get two of them. I couldn't get the third one. It took me a good 15, 20 minutes to come up with the third one again, even though I write them down on a 3x5 card. And couldn't find that 3x5 card, so I thought, well, it's somewhere in my mind. I have to bring it back up again. So we forget these things. If we don't use them all the time, our mind, because we're busy in the world, we're living in the world, we forget it. So let's do those one more time. With God, all things are possible. You can do this and more. It's always done unto you as you believe. It's always done unto you as you believe. With God, all things are possible. And you can do this and more. And you see, that's a trap our mind sets up for us. It doesn't want us to remember those things. So we have to keep going back. Even my mind, and I do try all the time to keep all this going, and it doesn't. So, and now, what is the other thing that your mind is always telling you, whether you know it or not, and usually you know it? It's three things that mind always throws up to you. I'm not enough, I don't have enough, and I don't do enough. I'm not enough, I don't have enough, do enough. The mind, why that happened, I have no idea. But it throws that up to you all the time. And here again, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm enjoying just sitting here, just being and just thinking. You see? And we're not taught to do that, because we're taught that we have to be doing something. The mind says, you're not doing anything. You're not doing something. I grew up in a family, if you sit down, my father would look at you and said, can't you find something to do? He hated to see anyone sit idly, because I grew up also in that atmosphere, idle hands are the devil's workshop. So you had to keep busy all the time. So we now know that that is not true, but that is another thing that we have in our mind, and our mind traps us with that all the time. So when your mind tells you you're not enough, you don't have enough, and you don't do enough, you have to tell it what? To go back to the nothingness from whence it came. Go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You have never been my friend, and you have never brought me any good news. You cannot rely on that mind talk that we have in there. Do not do that. Now, what have we been forgetting in this class this month? Does anyone know what we have forgotten? Yes, let's do it now. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. So let's keep that in mind, this matter dance. Even though sometimes we don't do it here, we have to know that we do matter. The other thing that I tell you that, excuse me, that is across the board. I have seen this for the last 35 years at least. But anyone that comes to talk to me, what do they not know? They do not know that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. I had a client last week, 30 years old, and I was explaining that to him, that he was worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and he mattered. He had never heard that before, and tears just ran down his face. Just ran down his face. He said he never heard it. He never thought about it. I said, didn't your parents ever tell you that? And he said, no. Although they were nice and all. But our parents may be nice. But how many people have never heard that in their lives, you see? Now, when that happens and I see these tears coming down somebody's face, I'm absolutely delighted, not that they're crying. Crying is a wonderful sign. It means that they have heard of truth of some sort, and what is happening is they're thawing. You see, they have been frozen on the inside. These feelings have been frozen. And when you hear the truth, you start to fall. And when you start to fall, tears come because of the thawing. So this young man is on his way. A lot of people, when they hear that, they do not believe it. You're saying, there's no reaction, there's no tears, there's no nothing. You have to know that about yourself, that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Now, the other thing I told him last week, I made him write all that down. I also told him to go home and do what? Does anyone remember what we used to do, the mirror work? What did we used to look in the mirror and say? Well, you may say that, but it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. And you see, that's a mind trap. The mind does not want you to know that. The mind does not want you to know that. When I say the mind, I mean your mind. It's programmed not to do that for some reason. You have to remind yourself of that. So when you're feeling down, and when you're feeling down, and you're feeling out of sorts and so forth, try to bring these things back up and see if they don't give you a lift, that they don't do something for you. That absolutely, that wonderful, wonderful me thing works. Absolutely will work for you. Because we get to feeling that we're all, what the thing with our mind does to us, if we don't keep up with wonderful, wonderful me, we, regardless of what we're doing, we start to feel less than. We start to feel less than. And we can't have that feeling. Most of the trouble that's in the world today is in the world because people feel less than. If everyone felt that they were wonderful, we wouldn't have most of the difficulties that we have in the world today. It's a wonderful thing. So, these are mind traps. Your mind traps you into some thinking something else. So we have to learn to use these exercises. And do we ever stop using these exercises? Apparently not. I have been doing this, I think I'm on my 40th year, and I still have to do it, because if I go 3 or 4 days without it, my whole mindset starts to change, and I start to think I'm less than. I start to think people are awful. I start to think the world is bad, all that. I have to practice it myself. I have to do these things. We want a wonderful life. We want a wonderful world. And it is wonderful. But it comes from our thinking. Everything starts in mind. Everything. So whatever you're thinking about, you're going to start to bring about. And the more you think about those things, the faster they're going to come to you. So why not have wonderful things come to you? Why not do that for yourself? We do not have to have all this negativity. We do not have to have all this awful stuff that we hear about in the world. We do not have to have it touch our lives. It is out there. I'm not asking you to deny that. I'm not saying that that's not a reality. That is a reality, but it doesn't have to be your reality. And therein lies the thing. You are the one that's creating your own reality. I heard this is on the radio. No, it wasn't either. I tell a lie. A lady called me on the phone to say to you, you know that the FBI has proven that there's a break-in every 13 seconds.
You got that.
I went, oh, what? You know, where did they get this? I don't see a break-in happening. I'm not having a break-in happen in my house. I'm not going to buy into that reality. If you buy into that reality, you bring that one to yourself. That is the fear that does it. So, now, what is the next mind trap that we fall into all the time? I gave it to you. Fear. We fall into fear. What do we fall into fear? Well, we fall into fear that I'm never going to have enough money. You see, I'm going to live under the bridge. I'm going to be a bad person. They're going to take this away from me, that away from me. That's fear. You cannot allow that to happen in your life. You cannot have fear thinking and God thinking going on. That's duality. There's no fear in the mind of God. And when we have fear come into us, and it's subtle, it's very subtle. Will I have enough money? Oh, that was this. This is happening. That's happening. Am I going to remain healthy? Am I going to do this, that, and the other thing? You have to stop all that. You can't let your mind trap you in that kind of thinking, in that kind of a mindset. You have to change it and say that absolutely I am one with this thing called God. And this thing called God has no fear whatsoever in it. There's no fear in it. Now, quickly, while we're talking about fear, do you remember what fear means? A little acronym for fear. False evidence. Yes. False evidence appearing real. And it's always going to be false evidence. All fear. So don't let fear thoughts take over. And they can take over very quickly and very easily. And I know in my life experience, I can tell you, they say love draws things to you. I can tell you that fear draws things to you quicker. It'll come to you much quicker. And I've seen it many times in my life, people that are fearful. It just hits you so quickly. So let's try not to fall for these fear thoughts and so forth. Let's not get trapped in the mind of fear. When that happens, what do you have to do? You have to sit down and talk yourself out of it. That's the only way you can do it. You have to talk yourself out of it. You have to say, you know, when I get into that situation with money and so forth, and I think, well, I'm not going to have enough money, I set myself right down and I say to myself, I have enough money to last the rest of my life if I die tomorrow. But you have to know that if you have enough money to get through this day, you're going to have enough money to get through the next day. Why do you want to project out to all those years? You don't even know if those years are going to exist for you. You don't. You have to say, so far everything has worked out, right? And isn't it always going to work out? You have to know that, that this thing called God is helping you. He's doing it. But if you have the fear, it's going to come to you. You're going to lose the money. You're going to do this. You're going to do that about it. And it's not going to happen. The same way, how many people are afraid, of course, of falling apart or becoming ill and so forth? And that's becoming more and more prevalent as we have more and more things, you know. There are more and more medicines out there. There are more and more things that people think, oh my God, something is going to happen. Why? Why? Why do we have to buy into that? You don't have to buy into that. down, you set yourself down, and you say, once again, I'm one with this thing called God. I'm in perfect health. Every system in my body, every organ in my body is operating efficiently. Efficiently. I'm not sick. I will not be sick. And then I always sit down and I say to myself, can I imagine this thing called God being sick? And if you can't imagine God being sick, why would you imagine yourself being sick? If you're one with this thing called God, and God can't be sick, then you can't be sick. Now here again, I am not telling you that these things do not exist. I'm not telling you to deny a reality. What I am asking you to do is give up the necessity for it. There is no necessity for the things that are out there. We think, oh, I've reached a certain age. Now this has to happen and that has to happen. How many people remember when you reached 40 years ago, they said your life was over at age 40? Remember that? It was downhill. Everything was downhill after 40. Now we're living more and more, and we're living healthier and healthier lives. So we change those things. So it's in your mindset. It's in your mind. You're creating all these things. So create what you want. That's your health. That's everything. That's why we have this little thing here. Scott didn't get one. Oh, he did? You're creating your own life. And you're creating it with your thinking. You're creating it with your feelings. And you know that you can change any of those things. And that's another one of the most marvelous things about this teaching. It teaches you that you can change. You can change anything in your life. You do not have to stay the way you are. And you do not have to stay in the reality that you think you're living in now if you do not like it. You can change that because you have the power to change your life and to change your reality. So use that power. Don't give it up. Say to yourself every day, I'm one with this thing called God. And I am going to use this power for good that's in the universe. I'm going to use it to bring good into my life. And spread it out and then into the lives of others. But start with your own self. And change your own thinking. See yourself as that wonderful person that you are, and give up any of those other ideas that you have, especially the idea that you are less than. Please. And if you have to go back and you have to do the wonderful, wonderful me in the mirror, go back and do it, you say. You have to do those things. We forget so quickly. We forget those things. Who can now tell me the three things again?
Would God all be possible? He's always given to you as you need. You can do this
for God. Aha. Did you get... Tell him. He doesn't know them.
With God all things are possible. We can do this and more.
As you believe. It's always done unto you as you believe. Do you see how quickly the mind...
That quick.
That, why that is, I have no idea, but that you have to work on that. Mm-hmm. So, do you have them now? What are they?
It is always done unto you as you believe.
You can do this and more. That was a statement by Jesus. If he could do it, you can do it. And you can do more than he did. And no one wants you to know that. And especially brand name churches do not want you to know that you can do more than this man called Jesus. but it's right in the Bible. You can do this and more. Because this thing called God does not show favorites. And this man called Jesus was not an exception. And people want to make Jesus an exception to all the rules of the universe. And what Jesus figured out was how to use the laws of the universe. That's what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. Now we're just coming back around to learning all this stuff again. And before him, there were the Essenes. They knew all about it, and that was 500 years before Jesus. So, you can do more. And we can always do more than this guy called Jesus. And that's what we want to know, that it wasn't an exception. We want to know that when they say Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, we do not do that in this teaching. We say we are all begotten sons and daughters of this thing called God, you see. So we can do, if anyone can do one thing, you can do it. If I can do something, you can do something, you see. You just have to apply yourself. And remember that and do it, you see. But we're not taught that. We were never taught that. We were taught, oh, well, he did it, but that's an exception, you see.
Yes. Who was it in the Bible that said that Jesus was his only begotten Son? Who made that statement?
Oh, now that I can't tell you that. I have to look that up. But that was that happened, 500 years after Jesus. Somebody made that up, mm-hmm. said that, the begotten Son. Yeah.
Because the
grand
churches really focus on that.
They always focus on that brand name churches. They want that as their own for some reason. But that doesn't get you anywhere. I know tons of people in brand name churches and so forth who they go to that church and they've been going there for years, but it hasn't helped them in any way. It hasn't helped them. They're still mean, bitter people. They're still gossipy and talking and all that. You see, when they come out of church, they say, "Did you see what she was wearing?" instead of, "Well, that was a good talk," or whatever, or "I learned something there." You know, say, here we want to learn something. Here we want to do something. And of course, here I'm never trying to put down brand name churches. I used to belong to one. Thank God I don't belong to any brand name churches now, you see. But we have to look at those different things in our life. Okay, I have some cards. And reality is merely our brain's relative understanding of the world based on where and how we are observing it. That's the whole idea of the observer. What you are observing, you are changing as you are tongue-tied. As you are observing something, you are starting to change it. So, reality is merely our brain's relative understanding of the world based on where and how we are observing it. Everybody's reality is slightly different. It's different because of your education. It's different because of your experiences. It's always going to be slightly different than anybody else's. Because where does reality come from? It comes from your mind. It comes from your mind. So you want to always check, how am I thinking about this? What am I thinking about? How's it working for me? The mental constructions of our daily activities, more than the activity itself, defines our reality. The mental construction of our daily activities, more than the activity itself, defines our reality. Mental construction. What does that mean? Well, let's use the idea. If you have a mindset of lack and limitation, your daily activities are going to be completely different than a mindset of prosperity and abundance. It always starts in your mind. What is the mindset that you have? What mental construction do you have going on inside? Do you see life as a wonderful, wonderful experience? Do you see yourself as a wonderful, wonderful being? You see, when you have that going on in your mind, things change. And you see things differently. You see things differently. Years of research have shown that a specific and concentrated focus on your strengths during a difficult task produces the best results. Years of research have shown that a specific and concerted focus on your strengths during a difficult task produces the best results. How many people focus on their strengths instead of their weaknesses? The mind concentrates on weakness. It tells you what you don't know. It tells you all that. It doesn't focus on your strength. If you want to do anything, if you're in selling or anything, you have to sit down and do focus on the strength that you have. Focus always on the strength that you have. When I come to do a talk, I focus on the strengths that I know that I can talk, that I've done this before, that I have a good vocabulary, that I've done my reading, that I've done this, that, and the other thing. These are the strengths. I do not allow any of the mind talk to come in saying to me, and it does come in, and it says, Dallas, you don't know a damn thing you're talking about. And the other thing that comes into my head always is, who the hell do you think you are? And that, who the hell do you think you are, came from my family. My father was a great one. When I would say anything, he would say, who the hell do you think you are? So, I have it. But I don't concentrate on that. If I concentrated on those things, I would never talk at all. I wouldn't keep going. Now, when I say those things also, when I say my father, and I can hear that voice, and I did resent it for years. I don't resent that anymore. You know, I completely, my father had his life. He did the very best he knew how to do. He had the very best life, and that was the way he wanted to run his life. And he wanted to say, that's fine. I do not take any of that personally anymore. That was him. And I let him go. He was a wonderful man. You know, but I'm not going to do that to people. You know, so use those things. Use those. Don't do it to yourself. Everyone can change and grow through application and experience. And they're proving this more and more. How I think maybe, Paula, when you were teaching, when you first started to teach, they told you that the IQ was set. Mm-hmm. And now we know that the IQ is not set. You learn throughout your life through application and experience. You grow. And the worst thing that we do to students is tell them, oh, well, you have a low IQ, or you have this, that, or the other thing, or you can't do this. Worst thing. You know, students, if you're in a classroom, students will live up to your expectations. If you look out and say, oh, those dumb idiots, they're never going to learn anything, they will live up to that expectation. If you say, these are wonderful children, and they can learn, and they are learning, they will do that for you. But that's, and you don't have to say that. These are thought atmospheres. Remember, I talk about thought atmospheres all the time. We're always living in thought atmospheres. Regardless of what people say, we know. We feel those thoughts. You know that's what's going on. The student knows if you like them or not. And they know what your expectations are for them. And they live only up to those expectations. So, IQs can change. We can learn at any time. I said the other week they have discovered about the brain and so forth, that it's absolutely plastic. It has plasticity to it, and it can learn at any time in life. You can learn. So don't fall for those things. And expect more from yourself and expect more from other people. There's wonderful stories that mothers who have held high expectations for their children. They don't even have to talk to the children about it. They hold the high expectation. The child lives up to that expectation. So, have an expect. Well, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. Much like have a high expectation of yourself. Hold that in your own mind. You see? Hold that. Don't let your mind tell you that you're less than. But you're less than anybody else. Why is that so important? You have to remember that you are a unique individual. You are one of a kind. You are a unique expression of this thing called God. And that's what you have to remember. Okay. Beliefs are so powerful because they dictate or affect. They dictate our effects and actions. Beliefs are so powerful because they dictate our efforts and actions. So what do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about yourself? The one thing that I always hold in mind, and then we'll go back to the fear of money and so forth, I absolutely hold in mind and absolutely believe in the reversal of fortune. The reversal of fortune. Today you can have nothing, tomorrow you can have everything, millions. So you have to remember that, the reversal of fortune. And that's a reversal of fortune with your health, with anything. It can reverse itself. You have to know that. It's not concrete. It is not concrete. Down. In closing, this one I had found in my drawer, and I used it when I was looking for those three other items. And I think I've given this to you before, and I'm almost sure that this is a Florence Shin little affirmation. And it goes thusly. I cast every burden upon the Christ within, and I go free. I cast every burden upon the Christ within, and I go free. What does that mean? Instead of you sitting around worrying and doing all this, cast anything, any burden that you have, upon the Christ within. That's your Christ consciousness. That's your higher self. Let it do the work so that you can go free, so that you can have a happy life. When you were children and so forth, you didn't worry. You cast all your burdens upon your mother and father, did you not? And you went out and played and ran and carried on, didn't you? And they said, I'll take care of that for you. Now that we're grown up, we can cast those burdens onto this thing called God, your higher self, the Christ consciousness. And by casting it and letting it go, you go free. And that's what we want in life. We want to be able to be free. Free of all these things. I call it free of all the nits and fleas of life. We do not want the nits and fleas of life. We want to be able to live a happy, wonderful, prosperous life where we love ourselves, we love other people, we have good friends. All the things that life is supposed to be about. I know so many people say, I don't have any friends. I think, how can that be? You have to have friends. You have to have people around you. Why would people ever say they have no friends? I don't understand that one. You have friends. We all have friends. So do this. Do not let your mind trap you in these different things. Do not let it trap you in the idea of fear. Fear has no power over you whatsoever unless you believe it. Unless you believe it. So do not believe on that. Tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. You are the one that has conjured that up. The mind loves to conjure all those things up. It loves fear for some reason. And we're coming into this grand holiday called Halloween, where everyone wants to be frightened and be filled with fear. Go ahead and do that, but then when it's over, do not have fear of any type. Let it go. Cast this burden. Any burden that you have, cast it upon this Christ within and go free. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.